This portion of the show is brought to you by Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona.
You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show.
On the last show, we were talking about what's the media going to have to talk about now.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a new hype and they the blow hype. Everything. Yeah, what's the latest, I don't know, outrage? No, it wasn't even outrage. It was just
the hype.
Flipping out about something. It's like, so now that Phoenix is not over 110 degrees, you know, because this is a Drudge Report, the hottest month in history is the headline, Phoenix 31 days over 110 degrees, which I dispute. Because I watched when we got to like day 18 was like the record or something when we were like early, middle July, actually. And I'm watching the temperature thing in Phoenix. I guess thermometer, you'd call that.
Well,
is that what they call it?
That was just the app on your phone, right?
Well, in fairness, I mean, yeah, but it said 108, 108, 108, right? And it was like 2 days in a row. But then all of a sudden it was like
111 that day. So you don't know where that 108 is coming from.
Well, they probably like, remember Ferris Bueller's Day Off? And he's trying to get out of school, and he's like got it under the heat lamp or the light bulb or whatever.
Yeah, the thermometer.
Wasn't that Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Yeah, he pretends to be sick, and then he like.
So I think they were like, "Oh no, the records! They move it to like where the jet engines are going or something." It was hot though. It's been a hot, this last day of July, and it's been a hot July. But now that I checked the app, and obviously they didn't make 110 today. It's 103 was the last I checked. So even if mine's a couple degrees off, and you know we got back to Flagstaff this afternoon. In Northern Arizona is a crisp, like 63 degrees. And I just want to say this because I said weeks ago, I said, don't worry, calm down. It's Arizona. It gets hot, and especially July. Mm-hmm. It's going to be okay. The monsoons are going to monsoons are never going to get big. It's the end. The end is near.
They're
on the street
this year. And that probably is why the record got broken. I mean, even if it's not legit, who knows? But they're just later this year. Normally it would have been earlier this month or even into June.
Yeah.
And that tampers down some of the heat. So then the record doesn't get broken. That's just because the monsoon's late.
And it was like 3 weeks ago, maybe four, where it was like below freezing in Northern Arizona.
Yeah, it was just sometime in June.
Okay. It was
like over a month ago.
Okay. A month ago or
5, 6 weeks. Yeah.
So I just say, calm down.
So I saw a headline, ABC News this morning that says, world melts under intense heat wave.
And
I'm looking around like,
where's the melting?
I don't see any meltage.
Yeah.
Melted and no one's aware of this because I didn't see any melting.
I don't know where it's happening. I'd like to see the videos. I mean, I'm sorry, cacti.
Yeah.
Cacti.
It's weird. I don't know.
Are falling over all over the place. No. And all the children that have burnt themselves by falling on the pavement. Remember that headline?
I was just down in Phoenix 2 weeks ago to go to the airport. There's still all the sombreros and everything. They're still there.
You still saw them?
Oh, yeah. Hmm.
Yeah, I want to, next time I go down to Phoenix, which hopefully it isn't too soon, I want to see if they're all just collapsed. Because, you know, you hit like Black Canyon.
Yeah.
And you're getting close to Phoenix, and there's a bunch of saguaro cactus there. And it's like, I want to see them all tumbled over because they acted like just all the cactus are falling over. Yeah. One report even said one melted, which was weird.
That's what I'm saying is this headline says the world melts.
The world. Well, remember the new UN.
You just like saying that name.
Boutros Ghali. The UN Secretary General last week, if you didn't listen to the Friday show, he said something like, boiling. The world is boiling, basically. It's boiling. We're past climate change and global warming. Now it's just global boiling.
Yeah.
What an idiot. You know, as he says this from 44th floor in the UN,
AC or wherever in the AC. Apartment.
Yeah, you go first. You go, let's see, you go, no
AC.
Turn
your AC off.
And don't take your jet.
Disconnect the AC.
Yeah. Don't take your jet to the fancy conferences on how you're going to save everybody from. These people have been working on saving the world from everything, including poverty, for what, 70 plus years now? Mm-hmm. They haven't done a very good job. I mean, capitalism has done the best job of bringing nations out of poverty. True capitalism, not crony capitalism, these UN bureaucrats and these other bureaucrats that go around saying stupid stuff. So anyway, I think we're over it. It's going to get hot. Here's what's going to happen. Been here a long time. It's going to cool down for a few days. You're going to get the monsoons. And it's going to warm up again. You're going to have some days where it pops above 110 and this and that in Phoenix. And then it's going to start getting cold at night. And before you know it, you're going to be like, what happened to the summer? Mm-hmm. That's what's just short-sighted. Mm-hmm. It gets hot. It's Arizona. Get over it. No, yep. Just move on. The Navajo Nation declared a state of emergency because of the heat. Mm-hmm. So they did this just last week or just today or the other day or whatever. State of emergency. This is the new thing. You declare a state of emergency.
Right. Because you can tap into some federal funds and stuff that way.
So they do
even though this is no different than any other summer.
No, it's hot. It's been hot. And now it's not so much. But no, every time there's any kind of incident, we'll move on to flood soon, by the way. That's going to be the next flip out is there's going to be a flood and that'll be man-caused. Man-caused hurricanes. They're coming. They're coming. Man-caused hurricanes. Yeah. What else? Just you name it. Earthquakes. That'll be caused by climate change at this. I think the earth tilted a little bit because Phoenix was so hot. So now we're dealing with that. But anyway, Navajo Nation declares a state of emergency because of the heat. But they do this because it allows, they're eligible. Whenever you declare a state of emergency, you're then eligible to get federal funds, to get the money train.
And where is that money going to go? What are they going to do about the heat with federal money? I mean, what could you do?
I don't know. Was it Joe Biden or? Yeah. Joe Biden last week, President Biden and the mayor of Phoenix, Mayor Kate Gallego, they came up with a plan, a battle plan. That's, we had the war on, you name it, the war on poverty going back to Johnson back in the 60s. Right. What a horrible president that guy was. The war on poverty.
War on drugs.
Yeah, so we had war on poverty first. So then we stacked people up in ghettos, basically, is what they did. Mm-hmm. And then we got the war on drugs, which that's turned out great. Yeah. We've got the war on terror. Mm-hmm. Now we have the war on heat. I mean, talk about getting progressively setting goals that are progressively more and more impossible. Yeah. You know, you go from you get war on poverty, war on drugs, war on terror, war on heat. What is the definable, you go into war and you want a definable parameter, like, hey, we're going to win this war. What does victory look like? Yeah. How do you define winning the war on heat? So I'm not making this up. This is what they were talking about last week. The war on heat. Mm. Imagine a dome over Phoenix.
Yeah.
We should put a dome over all these politicians. Let's send them to the same place, all of them together. Out. Yeah. It'd be like the Hunger Games. Yeah. May the odds be ever in your favor.
Yeah.
Anyway, I didn't even say hi to everybody. Welcome, everybody. After I wanted to get that off my off my chest right away. We love to hear from you. Send an email, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@icloud.com. If you want to just block all those politicians out and block the heat out, seriously, this is a good way to save energy, and that's the blinds on your home. The better blinds you've got, if you just got first of all, it's not only the issue of blocking out the heat and keeping the cool air in, and in the winter, vice versa. It's the look as well. And we had our blinds replaced last year. We had, what do you think? They were from the 90s?
Yeah, the guy said the tag on the
There was actually a tag.
From the 90s.
Verified from the 90s.
Yeah.
We should have kept them because, usually those things come
vintage,
back in.
Yeah.
Vintage at some point.
They come back in style.
Call my friends at the Blind Brothers. Mention the Jeff Horvitz Show right now. You can get half off installation. Well worth having them do the installation. They'll come in. They'll measure everything. Take out the old ones. Get you these new blinds and get you all set up. Ours work great. They look great as well. Call the Blind Brothers at 928-634-2423. That's 928-634-2423. Or just go online, theblindbrothers.com. That's theblindbrothers.com. And don't forget to tell them that I sent you. All right. Biden administration, here we are. Kids are, believe it or not, August school starts again. It's really early, I think. A lot of the country goes back end of August, early September.
Yeah,
right?
At least after the very end of August or maybe
after
the first week of September, Labor Day.
Labor Day. Yeah. It's typically most of the country goes back.
Yeah, or sometime in August.
Some are changing. Yeah. We go back very early August, so we're getting in the mindset of, we got to get the kids to school and we got to, get back into a new routine after two months.
Yeah.
So last Thursday and Friday, we went to, the meetings, the,
Yeah.
You know, where they tell you.
Well, they call it an open house, but it wasn't exactly because it was like you had to be there at a certain time. Yeah. So it was more of a meeting.
No big parent meeting. Yeah, yeah. No big surprises other than they say they're going to crack down on some of the cell phone stuff.
Yeah.
You know, kids got problems with cell phones.
Distractions.
Dress codes. Mm-hmm. We go to a school. So our kids go to a school. We utilize the private schools in Arizona. Two ways you can do it. You can do it through tax credits, which mm-hmm. Arizona led the way on many years ago, which made like charter schools. And well, first of all, charter schools was the initial thing that really blew up and became a big thing. And we did a charter school, but then it started off with dress code. It started off with not crazy woke education going on. Right.
Yeah.
And then over the years, these charter schools became just really a branch of the public school, in my opinion, most of them.
Well, and the charter school we were at, we were there for 7 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Or and no, it changed. Yeah, no, 7 years we were there.
Yeah.
And when Isabel first started there, it was like khaki pants, no jeans.
No
khaki
jeans, yeah.
Or blue, mm-hmm. navy, and a collared shirt.
Yeah.
Or it could be logo with a college, like USC or anything.
The time we got done with it was like Daisy Dukes.
Yeah. And yeah, by the time we're out of there, it's complete. There's no dress code.
There's no dress code. Yeah.
Nothing.
It was getting rough. Yeah. But it also, we started getting out of there when the notice came home during Black Lives Matter movement, all that 2020, 2021. And we got the big lecture about the diversity, equity, inclusion. The board did the apology tour.
Yeah.
You know, about, hey, sorry.
And all the training for the staff.
All the training. We're like, oh, we're out of here. This sounds like a bunch of nonsense. They're more, they started focusing more on diversity, equity, inclusion, all that stuff. So the charter schools really just became the public schools at that point. So now we've got now we're in a private school, a private Christian school, but there's many private schools out there, and we utilize the tax credits in Arizona. Arizona also has led the way in the empowerment scholarship accounts where you can utilize, $7,200 or so of money approximately.
I think it's a max of $7,000. It's different depending on where you live, but
So
max of $7,000.
Now, so we send our kids to private school because we just can't deal with the woke nonsense. I mention this because I am going to have Matt Beinberg from the Goldwater Institute on in the second hour of the show to talk about, to dispel the myths, fact check, I guess I should say, what Governor Katie Hobbs is saying about the ESA program. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of other states are now following Arizona's lead. They're coming up with their own ESA programs, their own backpack of money that you get to decide where you want your kid in: public school, charter school, private school, homeschooling, micro schools.
Yeah, right? Online schools.
Yeah, you get to decide all of that. So anyway, we're at this meeting at our kid's school, and they mentioned some of the sports programs, and one of the things they mentioned was, we're trying to get the archery program going, right? And I'm like, cool.
Well, Olivia's been wanting that.
Yeah,
they just haven't been able to get it going yet, but hopefully this year.
Yeah, she's
got her own
bow.
She's
got a compound
bow.
She's
actually pretty good at it.
Yeah, yeah, she's pretty good at nailing that target. And they want to, so we're excited because we're like, hey, the school's going to start doing this. This is right up Olivia's alley. Now the Biden administration, they want to target archery.
Mm-hmm.
This is Fox News. Biden administration withholding key funding for schools with hunting and archery programs. What a boneheaded move. Do they actually think like anything to do with outdoor sports, hunting, target shooting, think about archery, things like that? Why would they want to stop that? Is it because they just think people are going to go out and do mass archery shootings or something?
Yeah.
I mean, this is so stupid.
When's the last time there was ever like a crime or something with archery?
Give me a break. I mean, I can't say that it's never happened, but here's kids going to school or not even in school. Here's kids that like archery. It teaches them discipline.
Mm-hmm.
They have to learn about safety. They have to learn about patience. They have to learn how to cope with different situations. They're outside. They're not sitting there ding, 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 you know, doing the games and this and that.
Well, when I was in, I think 7th or 8th, one of the two grades, I did archery at school, and this is in the public school.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a, extracurricular. This was in PE. And it was one of the regular rotation things, like you do basketball for 6 weeks and then you do, whatever.
Rifle.
Not rifle, but we had an archery rotation where, and I was actually really good at it. I liked it a lot. and you just all the targets set up, and here's where you stand, yeah. and you know they had it all laid out, and yeah, I mean, it shows you how much the schools have changed, though, because they would never do that now.
It's probably gone from school. I mean,
Back in the 50s. Biden's going to withhold funds if they do. Yeah,
well, that's how they always beat you. They beat you with the money side. Yeah. These people stop succumbing to the money side. Or get your kids out of these public schools.
I bet even if Biden wasn't going to do it, maybe. They've probably done away with it by now anyway.
Yeah, just on how dare we. Yeah. Oh, we can't.
We shouldn't do that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we used to have lawn darts and things like that. Yeah. Yeah. That was probably a bad idea. Yeah. So anyway, Biden administration is blocking key federal funding earmarked under the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, ESEA, of 1965 for schools with hunting and archery programs. According to federal guidance circulated among hunting education groups and shared with Fox News Digital, the Department of Education determined that under the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act, the BSCA, it starts with BS,
yeah.
the BSCA passed last year, school hunting and archery classes are precluded from receiving federal funding. The interpretation could impact millions of American children enrolled in such programs. How idiotic. This is why you should not have central top-down control. Mm-hmm. And all those Republicans out there that constantly tell me they're going to get rid of the Department of Education, you'll put up.
Yeah, they never do anything.
Put up when you get in there.
Yeah.
Because we had full control in 7, when Trump won in 16, 17 and 18, had full control, Republican, House, Senate. Yeah. Okay. I still see the Department of Education.
It's still there.
I still see all these departments that you guys keep promising us election after election to get rid of.
Yeah.
Full of it.
Well, back to the archery thing, that sort of thing is really good for kids who maybe aren't that good or as interested in a team sport or they're just maybe not, you know, the type of kid that wants to play basketball or dodgeball or baseball
or whatever,
volleyball. And these are all team sports. And archery is one of those things that you can excel at by yourself, on your own, and that gives kids confidence that maybe they don't have playing dodgeball or whatever other sports they do.
Baseball, softball. You bring up a good point. I mean, there's not a lot of sports out there that are like geared to
individual. Right.
I mean, you got track, I guess, things like that. There's usually a team.
I had swimming in high school.
Swimming,
you know, that was part of PE, and so that was more individual. Like you had to learn the strokes and stuff like that. But. A lot of them now, I mean, they're taking away archery or anything like that are individual.
Yeah.
So I bet you they don't do swimming anymore, at least in some schools. They've probably taken that out.
Well, so I mean, that's not it's expensive. I mean, how many schools don't have a pool and this and that? Yeah. And so
it goes back to all team sports and you got to get picked or you're not into sports person on the team and you know no one wants you or you're the last
compromise
to kick
here
and
we can do team sport and the lawn darts we just bring the lawn darts back to the schools. I don't know your thoughts, folks. Send me an email, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. getting rid of archery or the push, and these schools will buckle because they rely on the money. Mm-hmm. it's all being pumped in from DC. We send the money to DC, we let them dictate what we can do then, and then they send it back to us. Why don't we get rid of that step altogether? And a big way to do that would be get rid of the Department of Education. We survived for, when did this come in? Early 80s, something like that. Mm-hmm. We survived for a long time without a centralized. Yeah. And look how dumb everything's gotten. Look how bad the test scores are. You can't tell me any of this has been working.
Yeah.
So just get rid of it. But hey, we'll be promised again. And we will vote in some Republicans, and then they won't do it. For whatever reason, they'll give excuse after excuse once they get in office why they couldn't accomplish it, why they couldn't get rid of it.
Yeah.
All right. If you got your AC down right now, I feel for you, although it is cooling down. You made it through the great melting. You've survived. Good for you. But if you want to get that HVAC system fixed, and really at this point you should be actually starting to think about, and I've been thinking about, I got to go out and cut some firewood, get ready for winter, get my our heating system we get it serviced checked. Every year. Mm-hmm. So we have them check for, you know, is it running well? They clean it out. They check the for carbon monoxide filters, et cetera, et cetera. And then sometimes they're like, you got a real problem here. Now Gettles, they came in, they fixed a board that we had a problem with, and we got an older unit, and they're like, hey, we can keep this going. Here's the part. They got it installed. They did a great job. It's still running. Eventually I'm going to have to get a newer heater. That's not the size of like half a room.
Yeah.
That's powered by coal.
It doesn't need its own door.
Yeah, it doesn't need its own door. And, of course, I'm going to call Gettles High Desert Mechanical back. Why don't you Google them and have them come on in, service your heater if you need a new heater. Maybe you're building a new home as well, getting, you know, something retrofitted. Gettles will take care of you. G-O-E-T-T-L-S. That's G-O-E-T-T-L-S. You can Google that or give them a call. Gettles High Desert Mechanical, 928-772-2751. That's Gettles High Desert Mechanical at 928-772-2751.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show.
If you get a rock chip in your windshield, you know, that's when the rock comes up from the road and it causes that indention, that chip out of the shield before it starts spreading. Don't let it spread, because then you're going to need a whole new windshield. I want you to call Diamond Auto Glass first. Don't call your insurance company. Don't make a claim, because most of these places, they're running it through a nationwide glass shop. They're letting them answer their phones, and of course, that's where they're going to send you. And that may cause delays, and it may take a lot longer to replace your windshield. Now, when you get a rock chip in your windshield, stop by Diamond Auto Glass as soon as possible, right on 4th Street in Flagstaff. Repairing a chip will stop it from spreading. It's going to save you from a costly windshield replacement. Done that before. We got a rock chip when we were pretty far away from Flagstaff on one of our big road trips, and by the time we got back to Flagstaff, it was pretty much, you know, spider webbed all across. Diamond Auto Glass got us a whole new windshield, though. And by the way, now if I get a rock chip in my windshield, and this will pertain to you as well, you have coverage. You have chip repair warranty going forward. No appointment needed. Just stop on by. Most repairs take about 10 to 15 minutes. Always call Diamond Auto Glass first at 928-779-4140. That's Diamond Auto Glass at 928-779-4140, or go to thedifferenceisclear.com.
You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show.
Are you elevating your kinkle?
Hey, I don't have a kinkle. He keeps calling it a kinkle. No,
she got bit by like a tarantula or something. The thing's all swollen
my
up.
My ankle's all swollen because I got bit by something.
Yeah.
Something nasty.
It wasn't a normal Camp Verde mosquito.
It's actually a swankle. Swollen ankle.
Swollen ankle. Is that a thing?
No.
Did you make that up?
I just made it up.
You better
it's a swanky
register that.
Swankle.
Swankle. I don't have cankles.
I'm bringing
swankles.
The swankle back.
Yeah, that looks like it was a spider or something. I saw a tarantula recently, but you would have noticed that.
No, I think I would have noticed that. I didn't notice anything biting me, and usually I do, but yesterday, swollen up, and it's like the worst spot. I can't bend my foot very well.
Yeah, no, that's
ankles,
tough.
Ankle problem.
At least it didn't kill you. There's a couple of high profile deaths, I guess. One of them was this guy, Remy Lucidi. No, he's like a social media selfie stick skyscraper guy.
Yeah, I never heard of him, but no, I guess he's probably one of those Instagram.
Well, yeah, they go on social media, so there's a lot of these, and there's been a lot more and more deaths that have happened. I don't think as many as like people burning and melting from the heat, things like that. But they go on, they do stunts. They do whatever's going
to
get noticed.
Each other.
They're always outdoing you. So next thing you know, you're on top of the tower, like picture like King Kong and the Empire State Building.
Yeah.
You're doing something like that. But he went up somewhere and 40 stories, 49th floor, or whatever, and he's done. So it's he outdid him, I guess, for a while.
He outdid himself.
Anytime you do something like this. But everybody's trying to outdo each other. Everybody's trying to.
Yeah, and that makes it more and more dangerous and more adrenaline rush or whatever they're seeking.
The other one was Paul Rubens, also known as Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah, Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah, he died today at 70 after a long battle
70?
With cancer. Yeah. Well, think about it.
Whoa.
I mean, that was back in the 80s. Remember, I remember I used to watch that. That was Saturday morning. Remember when we actually had something? We had three or four network channels. Mm-hmm. What did you have? You had ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox eventually came in.
We watched cartoons on Cartoon Network.
I had an antenna. We didn't have that. And then, there was some, you know, the PBS thing was going on or something. That thing.
He had Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Yeah, Pee-wee's Playhouse. Yeah. So they had the, in the word of the day. It was just absurd. It was just like, but we used to watch that. Yeah. Saturday morning cartoons. Yeah. We watched Pee-wee's Playhouse.
I never was really into that. My brother was more than I was.
Yeah. And then, and then Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah. The movie.
Yeah. The, he's trying to, he takes off on a bike to go find the basement of the Alamo. Uh-huh. And of course he gets there. There's no basement in the Alamo. They're all laughing at him. And, you know, so And then he was in later on. I know he ran into some troubles at one point, of course, but then he was in some movies like Blow. Mm-hmm. Remember that movie with whoever the guy is?
Yeah, I don't know.
The guy who played the pirate.
Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp. Yeah. So some things like that. I'm sure he was in other stuff as well. So there you go. I'd love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Hey, if I was selling a home right now in the Flagstaff or surrounding areas, I would call Kelly Broaddus with the Broaddus Properties Group, brokered by EXP. Kelly, I think she's scheduled to come on the program this week. We're going to get a real estate market update. Yeah, and we're going to try to do it every couple weeks now going forward because it's changing
been over
so
for a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. So I'll look forward to having Kelly on. I'll let you know here as the week progresses when she's coming. But real estate market, I think, is doing exceptionally well. It's the high-end stuff that's really selling. And then the middle's kind of – and the middle now is like $600,000, $700,000. That used to be the high end.
Yeah.
So we'll get a full breakdown from Kelly. But if you're, hey, if you're selling a home, you want to maybe downsize, you maybe want to move outside the Flagstaff area, or if you're moving within the community, call Kelly Broaddus. She has a full team of dedicated professionals. They're going to be with you every step of the way. By the way, if you go to Northern Arizona findhomes.com, in the menu, you click on home valuation and you enter your info real quick. You're going to get an email within a couple of minutes, give you value, and you'll be like, okay, time to move to Iowa. You know, I don't know. Just think about it. I mean, you could sell out and you could cash in and go
if
buy.
If you were in the right 40 position acres somewhere. In life to do that.
Yeah,
I mean, you could definitely do
that. And Kelly Broaddus would be the girl to call. 888-446-5602. That's 888-446-5602. A bunch more news items here. I want to talk about travel in Europe because they're talking about requiring Americans who go over to the EU to get a visa. This is something new that's probably coming in 2024. Plus, from the Goldwater Institute, we got Matt Beinberg coming up. Hang tight. Back in just a minute.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Just Wireless, your hometown cell phone guru.
You're listening to the Jeff Horovitz Show.
All right, welcome back. Angela's here with me this hour. Matt Beinberg from the Goldwater Institute. He's like the head of their education policy folks. He's going to talk about, you've heard a lot about Governor Katie Hobbs ripping ESAs, ripping.
Yeah, she wants to
the voucher
get
system.
Get rid of that and this has, unravel that.
Yeah, and this has implications all over the country because everybody's watching Arizona as the model. So they have to derail Arizona and make sure that, I mean, it's just stuff like, oh, it's going to bankrupt the public education system. And I'm like, I went to public school. I'm not that great at math, but 13,000 in the public school, 7,000 for the private school seems like a savings to me. So we'll talk with Matt Beinberg about that. New York is banning single-use plastic silverware starting today. What do you think about that one? So is this like your spork? You go to like the...
like the soup Nazi place.
The soup, no soup for you.
You get your soup, your spoon.
Everybody's going to be slurping. They're going to like get rid of to-go food soon. It has to come in an edible bowl.
Yeah.
Everyone's just going to be walking around with this stuff all over. Like my Hawaiian, I'm wearing my Hawaiian shirt
you're
today
ready
because
for
Angela's
summer.
Wearing a hoodie because it's already gotten cold. And I'm like,
it's 66 degrees.
I'm not giving up. I know, you know, even though it's we barely made it through the melting, the boiling, the global boiling, I'm going to go with summer as long as we can.
So this getting rid of this plastic fork is going to save the environment, huh?
What's next? What about the boxes they come in? What about the fact that you had to get there and maybe you had to drive there in an evil car to get your to-go food, right? I mean, in New York, a lot of people are walking and stuff like that. But, you know, maybe they'll just say, stay in your apartment and don't. Oh, maybe people will start carrying around like a little Swiss Army knife set.
Yeah, their own little
their own little spork set.
Yeah, it'll come in a little case.
And people are going to be like dying of infections because they don't clean their spork. Yeah, they're reusable. You remember that was a big argument with the bags. So they talked about a lot of places have banned or they charge you for the plastic bags. Mm-hmm. But some states, I think they outright banned them. And one of the things they're like, those cloth bags are getting a little rusty in there, you know. I mean, it's like you ever wash COVID, that thing.
All of a sudden, you couldn't use the reusable ones anymore because they carry bacteria or whatever it is. So
COVID hits,
and you do that.
Yeah, all of a sudden they're like, "Oh, we don't want you to use your reusable bag because COVID's going to carry on or something like that." It's like bizarre stuff.
And then
like
Starbucks
that.
Used to refill. You'd take it your refillable cup, and they'd put your drink in there.
Yeah.
Well, not that I've never done it. I just heard that they did that, and then. Then they stopped doing that. They wouldn't. They made them use the disposable cups.
Yeah, all of a sudden, disposable cups are back in.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I guess they probably changed that now once they realized that they were wrong and you weren't spreading COVID by bringing in your cup.
Well, it's just so...
I'm still waiting for the apology on that one. Yeah. You know, like, oops, we got that wrong. So, yeah, they're banning. Here's the problem. Okay, do you need to be throwing out a plastic spork or spoon or knife or whatever all the time? And honestly, I shouldn't admit this, but we actually, a lot of times we get those and we just save them and they're like in the,
kids
reuse them.
The kids take them for lunch.
Yeah, and they reuse them.
Yeah, I'll wash them off.
Yeah. Are they not allowed to take metal?
I don't think so. I just worry that they'll lose a good fork or something, or they'll accidentally throw away.
They would.
So we reuse them. They take plastic forks or spoons with their lunch.
Okay, I admit, I mean, I've been at plenty of to-go, you're on the road or whatever, and you throw it out, it's single use and this and that. But here's the problem with stuff like this. What's next?
Right.
So next, it's like, okay, we did that. Now, these people never run out of things to ban or to try to control. So then it's the to-go box. Then it's, okay, you got your foil on your pizza. You can't do that. We just got to hand it to you. Then is it the rubber glove you're using? Then is it just we don't allow, like New York City, for example, we don't allow takeout anymore. Mm-hmm. You have to eat it in the place with.
Well, they already got rid of the brick-fired oven, too.
Oh, well, or they charged, they made them modify it. Yeah. New York City's making, how many was it? It was maybe a couple hundred at most.
Something like that.
They're making these brick fired pizza places, I presume, right? I assume there's bakers and stuff like that that use it too. Mm-hmm. They're making them modify their brick fired ovens in the name of climate change. Because they're saying, oh, these 100 people, they must be contributing. It's not all the hot air that these bureaucrats and so-called experts are spewing out left and right. It's not that's causing climate change or whatever they're calling it, global boiling now. We've run out of respectable terms. It's the 102 brick-fired ovens in New York City.
Yeah.
You know, pretty stupid. I don't know. Your thoughts. Getting rid of
plastic utensils.
Plastic utensils. Will it make any difference? Is it a huge problem? And I know some of these people, and we were talking about this coming back up from Camp Verde Day, it was like, oh, the landfills are filling up, or this or that. And landfills will fill up eventually. We don't have a scarcity of land. Now, we have a scarcity in the cities and things like that.
Yeah.
And, okay, you have to go further out to get rid of and dispose. And I'm not saying, I like to not throw out things. I'm not saying just go crazy throwing out things. But when you actually look at the size of the country, drive across the country, or even when you're flying and you look at flyover country, you look at the vast amounts of open spaces. These people are delusional in these big cities because they actually think like we're running out of space. They actually think like we don't have much left. Most of the trees have been cut because that's their world. That's what they see every day. They see a concrete jungle. I've said this so many times.
Back east, like say in New York City, where do they take that trash?
To New Jersey.
I know, but New Jersey's got a ton of people, too, and I don't know how much land they have there.
They used to throw it out in the ocean, and then it started washing back up, like medical waste.
But I wonder
waste.
How far away they have to transport.
Probably pretty far. So I can get
I can
if you,
see in the big cities without a lot of land. I mean, here we're used to the landfills 5 miles away. You know, they can't do that in New York.
Yeah. No, I can see that. But is it like you drive out to the landfill, wherever it is, like in New Jersey somewhere, and it's like, oh, look at all those sporks.
It's like one
more and the whole mountain's going to flip over because of those sporks. Is that really the problem?
No. I mean, I'm just saying, like, I can see a logistical problem with more and more trash, too.
I hear you. But my problem is the trash coming out of these politicians and bureaucrats is it never ends. They will always find something else. They can never rest and say, we did it. We saved the world. The sporks are no longer going in the landfill. They won't rest until, I don't know what their end game is. Like, you're sitting in like a little pen and you're given like the Solent Green, you know, the food from that science fiction movie, which was humans, it turned out to be. Or you're eating bugs. That's the one they're big on. Yeah. Of course, they say that's been debunked, but that was in the literature from Schwab and these other folks. So I don't know what their end game is. I'm beginning to think, and we'll get to this next one on travel, and it's going to get maybe a little more difficult to travel to EU countries. If they can make it difficult and make you just not want to, they don't even want you to come. They don't even want your money. Like, tourism dollars is huge.
Just want you to
stay away.
Like 50-mile radius.
Just stay in your little zone. All right, Timberline Firearms and Training is we've got a lot of great specials right now. You go out there. Normally, you get 1 hour of range time. Rob has continued. He talked about this last week on the program. He has continued. You buy 1 hour and you can stay as long as you want. So they're continuing that into August. At least that's what I remember him telling me. So go on out there and tell him that I said that.
That's true. I got an email.
They also have a lot of great training courses. I encourage the federal government would like to see any kind of, this is firearms, of course, but outdoor sports, hunting. We're talking about the archery, things like that. They would love to see all that gone. Go out and beat them at their own game. Get into firearms, get into the Second Amendment, get into getting trained by one of the best out there, and that's Timberline Firearms and Training. New gun owners, first shots program, they've got intermediate handgun training all the way up to expert level stuff. Call Timberline Firearms and Training, book early because these things go pretty quick, 928-526-7900. That's Timberline Firearms and Training. It's just north of Flagstaff, about 5 minutes, 928-526-7900, or go to timberlinefirearms.us. Okay, here's my question I pose. Is the golden age of easy travel for Americans, is that gone?
Yes.
Okay. Let's move on to the next topic. My next topic, a normal capitalist company doesn't run this way. No, let's stick with this one for a second.
They've made air travel
despicable.
Like awful.
Horrid.
You know, delays, cancellation. I mean,
you got to sit there. Your knees are up in your chest.
Smaller space in the plane, less service.
Yep.
And more expensive, less choice and,
on the backs of us subsidizing these people too. Yeah, remember all the billions that went into these airlines, and then they just made service worse and less reliable. Mm-hmm. And this has all been subsidized by the U.S. taxpayer now on borrowed money, I might add.
Well, and I mean, there's always times where stuff gets delayed or canceled. It happens, but this is a lot. It's a lot more than it used to be. You hear from everybody. Yeah, and like sitting the people on the runway or the tarmac for 3 hours in Las Vegas without proper AC and all kinds of stuff like that.
If anyone was going to melt, that was the situation.
Yeah, right, and there. Just throwing people off for not doing this or that. Mm-hmm. When we were at the airport, they confiscated Isabel's mace, her little thing of mace. She had her in a keychain.
Oh, really?
Like, I mean, come on.
Yeah, we're still doing the liquid thing. It's still, sometimes you take your shoes off, sometimes
you
don't.
It's like personal protection stuff, too, though. I mean, they're taking it away. They just took it.
Yeah.
And
it's just become really bad.
Not only that, but it used to be easy to go to Europe. You would just, I mean,
yeah, you
if
could
you
get
can
a last minute special.
If you can stand the flying that long and the jet lag, you just show up there. Well, there's no visa.
Think about the people, you mentioned this earlier, back east. You're in New York, you're in Boston or something.
It's 6 hours to England or France.
It's quicker than going to Hawaii or something like that. You could just say, hey, I'm going for a long weekend, a special. Well, now it's going to get more complicated. They've had some delays, but they're trying by January of 2024 to require, and this is over, this is 30 countries in the EU, they're ending visa-free travel for U.S. citizens, and you're going to have to apply. They're saying you better do it before you book your rooms, your flights, this and that, because you could be denied. You have to give them your passport, personal information, passport details, job, where you live, as well as upcoming travel plans, probably ask you if you're vaccinated and this and that. And, you know, do you believe in 1,000 genders? And, you know, they'll probably have this whole questionnaire, and they could deny you going into the EU. It's $8 is what they're going to initially charge. It'll be $80 before you know it. Let's see, because tourists are required to get when traveling to the U.S. So European tourists are required to get a visa to come to the U.S. The U.S. charges $21. So maybe this is a tit for tat thing. Mm-hmm. Now, we've gone to Europe. We've never had to get a visa. Even when the EU just got cranking in the early 2000s, there's been other countries we've gone to that we've had to go get a visa for. But here, I got a little bit of gripe on this one, because I don't know how much money we spend per year, U.S. taxpayers, creating and providing a defensive shield for Europe so they can have all their extra money, because we're talking Germany and other industrialized nations. They don't have to really provide for their defense from Russia or whoever. We provide that for them. Right. How many bases we got over there, right? How much? Yeah. How many billions of dollars go over there every year? So, you know, it's just like, let them just provide that. And here's your $7
or $8. Get your visa when you're coming in. I mean, they want
just right there. When
they want the money for it, fine. You give them your passport. They put the little stick the stamp on there, whatever they do.
The little
Well, they stamp it either way, but sometimes the visa is the extra little stamp thing. Fine, I'll pay the $8. But doing it in advance and doing this whole like rigmarole, and then what do you do? I mean, if you were to get the visa, they approve you, but they don't have your passport in hand. How do they?
I don't know. I guess you got to send it. It's done online. And they also say, hey, you could get here and we could deny you entry. I mean, I guess they could do that. Any border guard, person could do that anywhere.
Because the only other time we had to get an actual visa, we had to give our passports over to the embassy of Vietnam. And
we had to mail them in. Yeah.
Yeah. We had to like surrender our passports while they looked at it and give them a picture and whatever. And I was like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, but we don't get that kind of arrangement with Vietnam like we do with Europe.
And they're a little way more tightly controlled over there. They want to know exactly when you're going to be there and all that stuff. But anywhere else, you just show up.
You just show up.
And maybe there's a visa requirement and you pay the
thing. I think there's more to this. They don't want people traveling. Already cut back on domestic air travel. They want you to, like you said when we were driving up today, they want you to go on the train.
They want people in Europe to travel within Europe on train, not planes. And then that's just where they go.
Yeah.
And they don't want
your thoughts, folks. Yeah, we'd love to hear from you. Visa-free travel ending for Americans going to Europe. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Hey, I want you to do me a favor, and I've told you this for a long time. Educating yourself when it comes to your personal finances, I think, is really critical, especially in this era that we're living in with the craziness that's going on. Don't listen to me. I don't give financial advice, right? I never do. I want you to educate yourself, though, and I think a great way is to call Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management. Talk about your portfolio. Talk about where you're at in your life right now. Maybe where you want to be, especially when you get to retirement. We're talking time horizon. We're talking, hey, do you want to be eating? They still have Alpo, like the dog thing.
The dog food?
You want to be eating Alpo, or do you want to be eating something a little better, you know, in retirement? I'm not kidding. I mean, people are having a heck of a time because, you know, if you're relying on the government to come up with some kind of retirement plan for you, that's not going to be good.
Alpo probably has like prime rib flavored or something.
It's probably actually pretty good. Just do another taste test episode.
You guys eat that corned beef hash. That always reminds me of dog food.
It probably comes from the same line. Anyway, call Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management. Get a free complimentary, no obligation consultation, 928-225-2474. That's Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management at 928-225-2474. Back in just a minute.
You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show.
If you're thinking about buying a home, don't waste your time being misled by teaser interest rates on the internet. The first thing you should do is call Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans. As Arizona's largest privately owned mortgage lender, Nova Home Loans offers local decision making like a bank with better access to more programs like a broker. That saves you time, effort, and money. Kim's going to show you how much cash you really need and what price range you actually qualify for. With Kim's pre-approval letter in hand, sellers know you're serious. It's almost like having cash in hand. For purchase or refinance, call Kim Dawson at 928-310-6458. That's 928-310-6458. And by the way, if you mention a Jeff Horvitz Show, you can get $250 off the lender's fee at closing. Call Kim Dawson at 928-310-6458 or go to novahomeloans.com/Kim Dawson. Kim Dawson, NMLS 697411, Nova Home Loans, NMLS 3087, BK number 090242, Equal Housing Opportunity, subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. All right, that's it for this hour. I do have Matt Beyenberg from the Goldwater Institute Cup here in just a few minutes, so stick around. Where he wants to, I don't know, go fact check Governor Katie Hobbs of Arizona, her fact, so she claims, about school vouchers and school choice. So we'll hit on all that. And I think you're taking off.
Yeah.
We'll pull you back in another time. All right, don't go anywhere. Hang tight. Back in just a few minutes. This hour of the show is brought to you by Zero Res of Northern Arizona.
You're listening to The Jeff Horvitz Show.
All right, welcome back. Hour two of the show. Jeff Horvitz here. Angela ditched me. She's out of here. Some thunderstorms out there right now. So I guess the global melting has ended, according to that UN Secretary General. I told you it would cool down again eventually. So, hey, we're going to talk with Matt Beyenberg from the Goldwater Institute in just a second. Let's fact check Governor Katie Hobbs. You know, she's all over the place, especially she wants to get around the country as well to make sure that the voucher system here, the empowerment scholarship account system in Arizona, make sure that doesn't succeed or talk it down as much as she can, because other states are looking to follow this system. And I know a lot of you, 60 plus thousand Arizonans out there, have switched to this system. Other states are now on board. So we'll talk with Matt Beyenberg from the Goldwater Institute in just a minute and get all the details and the facts on what she's out there yammering about all over the place. Hey, Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona has been with us here on the program third year now. This is a great time to call Gutter Helmet and get this awesome system, multi-patented reverse curve that will deflect all the pine needles, keep that out of your gutters. The seasons will change before you know it. The pine needles will be dropping, the leaves, and all that stuff gets all clogged up in there. And then next thing you know, it's winter. You got ice damming going on. Call Gutter Helmet and talk with Carl, the Gutter Helmet man, why this gutter protection system is the number one out there in the nation. And they've got a great warranty on this as well. Normally you get 30% off when you hear about it here on the show. When you call, mention a Jeff Horvitz Show, please do that so he knows, hey, I'm hearing this and heard it from Jeff, heard it on the Jeff Horvitz Show. Like a lot of my neighbors who've gotten this system, a lot of you out there have told me you've gotten it. Let him know you get another 5% off. An additional 5% off that 30% he's already doing. Call or text Carl, the Gutter Helmet Man, 928-318-6555. 928-318-6555. Or go to gutterhelmetnaz.com. All right, Matt Beyenberg is with us. He is the education director with the Goldwater Institute. Matt, how you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Good, good. I want to mention you had a book come out before we get to fact-checking Governor Hobbs. A is for the American Dream. This is a children's book. Tell us about that real quick.
Sure. It's actually a new kids book we put out as part of our Van Sittert Center for Constitutional Advocacy. A is for the American Dream, and basically an alphabet book for kids that kind of goes through issues like the Constitution, gratitude, hard work, kind of the ideas of America's founding and just kind of good old-fashioned principles of the U.S. So we put this out. You know, there's so much garbage out there that's getting sent over to kids. We thought that, you know, parents are hungry for good resources. So we released the kids book, A is for the American Dream. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it on aisfortheamericandream.com. And yeah, we're super excited to be sharing that with folks.
That's great. I don't think it's necessary, though. I mean, you just go to the public schools and you learn all about that stuff already, right? they talk about the Constitution all the time, right? And hard work and this and that. That sounds good. Matt, I'll check this out and order one up. And I'd love folks to, we need to support things like this because all joking aside, kids aren't getting this. They're not getting it. They're not, we need to teach the Constitution more. So I think this is a great thing that you're doing out there. Okay. Let's fact check Governor Hobbs and the school choice, rhetoric that's been out there. Real quick, I mean, when did this come into play as far as just to remind, in case we got new listeners, you know, new people moving to the state all the time, Matt. It was just last year that the legislature passed this or the year before?
Yeah, that's right. So we've had an ESA program, Education Savings Account, for about 10 years, open to just a few students in Arizona. And then under Governor Ducey, the legislature passed and he signed an expansion of this program. And so now ESAs are available to every student in the entire state. So any family, if they want their kids, say, hey, look, the local public schools in my area just, you know, aren't meeting my kids' needs. Instead, they're able to get on this ESA program, gives them about $7,000, and they can use that either to go to a private school or to do at-home education, curriculum, textbooks, special ed therapy, essentially anything that's for their kids' education, they can use it for. So got expanded. Now there are over 60,000 students who have signed up onto the program, and now we're seeing folks like Governor Hobbs' office coming out and trying to attack and undermine it.
Yeah, and I don't know why, but let's go over some of the claims. I think I do know why, but let's go over the claims that she's making. Governor Hobbs' office claims ESA spending could account for more than half of new K-12 education spending in the 2024 budget while serving only 8% of Arizona students. Matt, I went to public school. We have a partially working abacus here on the show. That don't sound right to me. That doesn't add up in my simple mind.
It doesn't add up in reality either. So you're doing fine. It's basically, you know, them trying to manipulate numbers and make it sound like this program is costing tons of money and barely serving anybody. And so we pointed out that if you actually look at this ESA program, even with 60,000 kids on it, its total cost for all of those kids is about 2% of what is spent on Arizona K-12 kids, right? So the idea that this is somehow breaking the bank and channeling all this funding away from others into this just doesn't add up. You're really talking about a tiny sliver of the total spending, but they're trying to play games with what funds they count and don't count to make it sound like, you know, half of our dollars are going toward this, but it's just serving a few kids. The reality is, no, 2% of what's being spent on Arizona K-12 kids is going to the ESA program, but they're trying to spin it to make it sound like that's what's throwing things out of whack.
And just to back up here, Matt, you got 60,000 kids on the ESA program now in Arizona?
That's right.
Okay. How many kids are in the public school system? I've heard the number 1 million. Is it more than that? Where is that at?
Yeah, it's a little north of 1 million. Yep. So again, you're talking, a much smaller percentage of what's actually going to ESA kids. And that number is growing. And, you know, we like to kind of point out even that 1 million public school kids, that includes, about a quarter of that are families who've chosen public charter schools, you know, and that's using school choice. Those are great schools. But even that, right, is now 20-25% of the student population, and our public education system hasn't exploded, even with the huge growth in charter schools, right? We still have district schools. They've been crying for years that, you know, charter schools steal money, they steal kids. And, you know, obviously that hasn't borne out. The schools are funded more today than ever before in the past. And so this is all scare tactics. We've seen it before when they tried to oppose public charter schools, and now we're seeing it with ESAs, because in both cases, they basically view this as competition, and they don't want families to have that choice to be able to escape, you know, their monopoly where they get paid each time they bring a kid in.
Well, in my world, I don't see boarded up schools all over the place, public schools, Matt. So I would maybe they are somewhere, but the numbers just don't look like that. 60,000 kids. Let's just go with 1 million kids in the school system. My simple just in my head is that 6% of the kids are now going to utilizing the ESA program. It's taking up majority of the budget, you said, or over half the budget. Only 8% of Arizona students are using it, but that number doesn't jive right. You're saying it's taking up 2%?
Yeah, trying to. Part of their numbers are based on their speculation about how many kids are going to be on the program in a year from now. So they're taking these very, very high estimates,
okay,
which are not what the budget analysts are projecting, and saying, if it grows to this other number here, look, it's going to cost all this money, and it's going to be this 8% of kids. Even if those estimates are met and we get to that point where it's 6 or 8% of students, you're still looking at it being about 6% of the total spending, right? It's always going to educate more kids, you know, as a percentage who are being served than it costs the budget, right? So if you're educating 8% of kids and it costs 4% of the budget or 6%, it's still a good deal from the perspective of taxpayers, right? You're educating students for less money per student. And this is something we've pointed out, you know, rather than getting kind of bogged down in the percentages, it costs $7,000 for a typical student on an ESA. The average spending per pupil in an Arizona public school is $14,000. So it's just set everything else aside, twice as much money to send a student on average to the public school system as to give them an ESA.
Okay, Matt. And Matt Beinberg is with us with the Goldwater Institute, Director of Education Policy. I mean, that's the claim here that Hobbs and others are making and going and being really loud about students leaving the public district schools for the ESA program, and that's resulting in increased costs to the state. And you just laid this out. I've been laying it out for a long time, as other guests on this program. $7,000, like you said, if you utilize ESA, if you even qualify for that much, that's what follows you to the private school. But if you stay in the public school, that kid, that body's costing $14,000. I've heard $13,000. You're saying $14,000. Okay, about double. How does this bankrupt the system? It just doesn't even make sense, even by crazy government math at this point.
That's right. It doesn't. And that's where, you know, we again try to give a sense of, like I said, it's about 2%. So just in terms of the magnitude, it's smaller. Now, it is true that if you're a student who was in, you know, a private school already or being homeschooled, those were families who were bearing the entire financial burden of that themselves, right? They were paying property taxes, paying state sales taxes, paying state income taxes, putting all this money into government coffers to go help other students, but they themselves were not benefiting from that, right? They were not pulling anything back for themselves. And so the state was essentially profiting from them before, right? To say, well, you're paying all your taxes and your kid's getting nothing for it in return. Now the ESA program says, well, we're going to stop treating those families or those kids like second-class citizens, right? We're going to return some of their property tax dollars. We're going to make them eligible for funding just like any other kid. So it's true that if you have a family who had, for all these years, been saving taxpayers' funds by not sending their kid to, you know, public school, now they're saying, yeah, I'm going to get on the ESA program. I'm going to, you know, take a piece of what's allotted to me. That's true. That's an extra cost that that student, you know, to then support them. But that's still far less than it was in the public school. And it basically boils down to an argument of, you know, so the left seems to think that we should fund all kids as long as they walk into a public school like, and we shouldn't fund the kids if they're doing a form of education that the left doesn't control.
I see how they're twisting that, and I see what you're saying. Hey, these kids were already going to the private schools, and they were maybe using the tax credits or paying. Look, my kids go to a private Christian school now because we did the public school thing. We did the charter school thing, and both turned out to be utter disasters, right, especially during COVID. It costs, the new rate is about, I think my daughter Olivia, who's going into ninth grade, I think it's over $9,000 right now. Now, we still utilize the tax credits in Arizona, but if we were to go to the ESA, we'd get, say, $7,000. We still got to kick in money, but I can see, okay, people weren't utilizing this, so they were paying property taxes, and then they weren't getting anything in return. And in the meantime, they're trying to count these kids and say, well, now we got to pay for your kids. Well, what if we stuck them in the public school and then it cost you $14,000? I mean, have they thought about that?
That's right. Yeah. And you've never heard a complaint from the left to say that we're going to not be able to, you know, too many kids are in the system. We shouldn't be paying for these kids, right? It's always, we need more money. We need more money. You never hear anything about, look how costly these things are. And I think it's worth noting, there are these families who may be shouldering that burden themselves. Governor Hobbs herself described her own story being exactly like that. She was interviewed and she said, look, my family, I was on food stamps growing up. My family chose to send me to a private school. They made that sacrifice. And the thinking is, that's exactly the example, right? Surely, even though they were able to, you know, pull together and sacrifice and do all these things to get through, surely that's a family who could have benefited from not having to make all those sacrifices, right? So if Governor Hobbs herself was able to benefit from private school education, even though her family was paying for it, that doesn't mean they weren't deserving of their share of, you know, educational funding as much as any kid going to a public school.
Yeah, but we've seen this on education. We've seen this on private security. You know, you and I could probably go on for hours about the things that they're hypocritical on when it comes to, oh, but you go first kind of thing. You know, that's typically what happens. Okay, another claim here, Matt, is that the ESA program could result in a $300 million budget deficit. And this, our great state has not had deficits, fortunately, in a couple of years. In fact, they've had billions of extra dollars, and we can save that argument for another time about returning some of that money. But is this going to cause a deficit? Where's she coming up with this?
Yeah, so she's using numbers that again, were put out there, and it was based off of a memo that her own office said made false assertions. So they slammed this memo that came out, and yet they themselves then used it, made some calculations, and said, here's what we're estimating. So again, it is substantially more than what the nonpartisan state budget analysts are projecting. They have the actual budget analysts this year, the budget already fully funds all the ESA students that are in the program and growth that's anticipated. And Hobbs folks are saying, no, we think it's going to be even higher than that. And they got the numbers wrong when it came to trying to be calculating how much it is. So again, without getting too much into the detail, like I said, it costs about $7,000 for a typical ESA student on this. It does cost a lot more for a special needs student, right? Kids, yeah. Whether you're in the public school or on the ESA, you have students with severe disabilities who might get $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 per student of extra funding. And so many of the original ESA kids were special needs kids, because that's largely what the population was open to. Hobbs folks basically used those numbers to make their calculations. So they said, we think every ESA kid costs $11,000 when actually it only costs $7,000. So stuff like that. So even the numbers, even if the number of students who gets on the program turns out to be on the high end of what those estimates were, they're still just wildly wrong in terms of what is the actual impact. Because even if there's a couple hundred million dollars of ESA awards, that's not the net cost to taxpayers, right? Because like we were saying, any one of those kids who's switching from a district school or from a charter school to an ESA, that's basically a wash or a savings to the taxpayer, right? Sure, there may be $7,000 going to the ESA, but you compare that $7,000 versus what was going to be spent on them elsewhere. So the Hobbs folks, again, kind of wave their hands and pretend that this is going to increase the cost by that amount, as opposed to saying, well, what's the actual, you know, comparison of being on the ESA program versus, you know, being on the taxpayer burden in a public school.
Okay. And Matt, even if, okay, let's look at the $300 million, but they claim, oh, this is going to ruin public education and this and that. I'm a free market guy. You're a free market guy. If, let's say 100,000 kids decide, families decide to put their kids into ESA programs. Let's say it's 150,000. There's still going to be jobs out there for these teachers. There's still going to be schools that are going to be needed. So maybe I'm just thinking out here, because I think a lot of people should leave the public school system, and we should allow the market to develop. And hey, specialized education here. This school does that thing. The other school does another thing. There'll be jobs. There'll be better education. But nothing's being lost here. These kids are still getting educated. The money's just moving from one area to the other. Could it be the teachers' union groups, things like that?
You know, I think it could be. And yes, that's exactly right. You know, I mentioned the charter schools in Arizona as an example. There's over 200,000 kids now in Arizona on charter schools, yeah. Right? And it's the same thing. The left likes to say, well, you're not, every time a kid goes to a charter school, that's money that isn't going to the district school. Well, those are families who are choosing to send their kids there. They're thriving schools. We've actually, Stanford just came out with a report a couple months ago, showed across the U.S. public charter schools are outperforming district schools, including in Arizona, right? So for years we've heard, oh, they're just a scam. They're these, you know, schools that are siphoning off kids from our district schools. And yet we're finding that even when you compare apples to apples and adjust for kind of student characteristics and everything, these schools are doing a better job. They're costing less money and they're teaching kids better. And there's hundreds of thousands of students who've opted for charter schools. So even if over time the ESA program were to grow similarly to the charter school program, we've already seen that experiment played out and has been a success.
Absolutely. All right, Matt, finally, what do we do? I mean, they want this thing to fail. This could be the model that I think good half the states actually start to follow. I know other states have already started doing that. What do we do in Arizona to make sure it doesn't fail, to make sure that our kids have full school choice so we can try to fix education going forward?
Yeah, it's making sure that people are aware of the program, right? We hear so much from the unions, the Red Fred group, all of them that are trying to destroy this program. They're trying to talk, you know, say, hey, it's bad, it's terrible. Sharing the word, right? Getting it out and letting folks know, hey, here's what the program does. Here are stories of kids who've benefited. And I think we're going to see an effort from the left. You know, if they gain power in the legislature, I think they'll do everything they can to pull apart ESAs or charter schools or school choice. I think they've, you know, made it clear that they are owned by the teachers unions. And I think it's very incumbent on folks to be aware of the issue and say, look, this is something that matters to me. This matters to Arizona. It matters to our students, and we're going to stand firm for it.
All right, Matt. Hey, I appreciate what you've been doing on this. Goldwater Institute as well. And I encourage everybody to go ahead and search out Goldwater Institute. That you guys deal with so many issues out there when it comes to individual liberties, things like that. So appreciate that. Plus, A is for the American Dream. Great children's book. And we need more of that, teaching the Constitution. A is for the American Dream.com. Matt, appreciate it. We'll talk with you again real soon.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care. And I'd love comments from you. Olivia will be up here in just a minute. We'll go over some of your email comments. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Hey, gold has been a safe haven asset throughout history. In fact, gold's returned a pretty good, if you look at it, since over the last 10, 20 years, even 30 years, it's been pretty dang good. Hey, I don't know if that's going to be the same in the future. I always tell you to educate yourself as much as possible. I've been investing. My family has decided to invest in gold and silver for the past couple of decades. And I've been buying gold from Desert Gold Exchange, based right here in Arizona. They deal exclusively in physical gold and silver, not some piece of paper. It's a family-owned company. Desert Gold Exchange keeps their overhead low. They pass those savings right on to you. Give them a call and mention a Jeff Orvitz show. You get a free investor's kit. And please do that with all of our sponsors. Mention a show so they know, hey, you're hearing about it, and we're all working together to make sure everything keeps on rolling and keeps us on air, keeps our local Arizona companies in business as well. 888-852-4343. That's Desert Gold Exchange at 888-852-4343.
This is the Jeff Orbit Show.
If you get a rock chip in your windshield, you know, that's when the rock comes up from the road and it causes that indention, that chip out of the shield before it starts spreading. Don't let it spread, because then you're going to need a whole new windshield. I want you to call Diamond Auto Glass first. Don't call your insurance company. Don't make a claim, because most of these places, they're running it through a nationwide glass shop. They're letting them answer their phones, and of course, that's where they're going to send you, and that may cause delays, and it may take a lot longer to replace your windshield. Now, when you get a rock chip in your windshield, stop by Diamond Auto Glass as soon as possible. Right on 4th Street in Flagstaff, repairing a chip will stop it from spreading. It's going to save you from a costly windshield replacement. Done that before. We got a rock chip when we were pretty far away from Flagstaff on one of our big road trips, and by the time we got back, the Flagstaff is pretty much, you know, spider-webbed all across. Diamond Auto Glass got us a whole new windshield, though. And by the way, now if I get a rock chip in my windshield, and this will pertain to you as well, you have coverage. You have chip repair warranty going forward. No appointment needed. Just stop on by. Most repairs take about 10 to 15 minutes. Always call Diamond Auto Glass first at 928-779-4140. That's Diamond Auto Glass at 928-779-4140, or go to thedifferenceisclear.com.
You're listening to the Jeff Orbit Show.
All right, welcome back. Thanks again to Matt Beinberg from the Goldwater Institute. And yeah, check out that organization, because I do a lot of good out there. And if you got kids or grandkids, maybe support that book. It's great when people do things that are helping kids learn about the Constitution. And it is, let me get the name once again for you, because I already lost it. It's coming. A is for the American Dream. A is for the American Dream.com. I've got a headline here. This is out of Flagstaff paper, the Arizona Daily Sun. One of the biggest things they're talking about, and I'm seeing this consistently across the country, and I don't know the guy. I don't know much about him. I know he was really strong against the COVID insanity that was going on, and he's making a pretty good showing against Joe Biden for the Democrat nomination. I think he was polling as high as like 20%. So they're on full alert, because Biden, you know, the guy can't even function. So there's a possibility someone could pop up. But here's the headline. RFK Jr. says he's not anti-vaccine. His record shows the opposite. It's one of many inconsistencies. So you never see anything like that on Biden. You wouldn't see, and they've got a bunch of pop-up little pictures there about vaccines and one more booster shot, you know, everything against him and against he was very much, like I said, against the push to constantly get the shot, and the vaccine mandates, the COVID insanity. That's the biggest thing I know about him. And obviously he's running for the Democrat nomination for president. I'd like to get him on the program. We will work hard as we get deeper into the election cycle. But the fact is that all the media is all of a sudden, they're all shining and popping the same thing, same bullet points. You just can't trust it. It's the same crap echoed throughout the whole system. It's kind of like the month of July is the boiling month. You know, they all got on cue with, it's the end of the world. It's the end of the world because it's hot in Phoenix. Go figure, in July, right? And yeah, it was an exceptionally hot month, but come on. You know, it's just blowing it way out of proportion like they always do. So can't trust anything that you read out there. And they always seem to have a slant one way or the other. So love your thoughts. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. We're going to get some of those comments here in the next segment. I'll bring in Olivia. Plus, we got some more news items to hit as well. You still got time to take advantage of. So this is the end of July, so you better do this pretty quick. Zero Res, Northern Arizona. They'll clean those carpets. They'll clean the tile fabrics on your couches, your vehicles, your RVs. You're out there still doing the summertime thing, going on some big trips. You still got a lot of time to do that right now. And you got to book this tonight, today, ZeroResNorthernArizona.com, ZeroResNorthernArizona.com. You get three rooms of carpet for $138. You're going to get the fourth room for free. But you got to take care of it right now because this special is ending. ZeroResNorthernArizona.com. I'm going to have some great new specials for August for Zero Res. Probably announce that on the program tomorrow. So please pay attention because, hey, getting these carpets clean, I've ripped out carpet. Carpets get nasty. That cheap little carpet cleaner you buy ain't going to do it. Zero Res has the system that's going to take everything out and protect. You can also get fiber protectant put in there, and it'll suck out all that crap that's laying under the carpet and in the fibers as well. Trust me, you want a professional like Zero Res Northern Arizona to take care of this for you. ZeroResNorthernArizona.com or call them up, 928-378-8888. That's 928-378-8888. Please mention the Jeff Horvitz Show when you call them. Hang tight. Back in just a minute.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show. You're listening to the Jeff Horvitz Show.
All right, welcome back. Olivia joins us
here for the last part of the show.
Last part of your summer as well.
Oh, it's so sad. As sad as the rain outside.
Well, I step out.
Kind of happy, but
I step out during the break. Mood. Well, I step out there in the break, and I'm like, where's the sun?
It's like 30 and it's degrees like, cooler yeah, than it's when like, you stepped
it's
inside.
Like almost snowing out there. It's like 55 degrees or something, and I'm just like, whew, that happened quick. I said, look, I don't want to dwell on this. I've seen Arizona. I've been in Arizona, and I've seen the weather for too long. It is weather. It's not the end of the world. And I was saying a week or two ago, I said, don't worry, we're going to get into August. And a lot of new people to the state hear that, and they're like, you're going to get into August and it's going to cool down? Because a lot of places, it's the dog days of August. It just gets really humid and sweltering in there. And we're still going to have hot times coming up. But what happens as soon as we get into August, typically, especially in the high country, Olivia, in the evenings, it starts getting cooler and cooler. And by the end of August, you're like Angela today, she's wearing a hoodie already. Because it starts cooling down rapidly. That's where we're at.
That's also mom.
Yeah, summer's home. I mean, it's practically over. And the fact of that is the kids are going back to school. At least
August
mine are.
First.
Yeah, you guys are going back tomorrow. It seems early. I don't know. Some public schools might go back the week after or something like that. But you're all going back throughout the state pretty quick.
Well, it seems early every year. But this year seems especially early.
The summer, where did it go? I mean, we started off with that great trip that we took to Hawaii. And then all of a sudden it was like gone. And next thing you know, we're at the school orientation thing the other night.
It like sealed my doom.
You'd kind of depressed. And then you had the weather. You like this weather though, don't you?
Yeah, I do. But it seems like a sign. It's like school's starting.
You know, high school.
Now the skies will cry.
You're a high schooler now. I mean, you got 4 years left.
I know. I was talking to a friend and we were like, it doesn't seem that long anymore.
Yeah, there's less than, unless you go to college for 16 years afterwards.
I'm not going to college for 16 years. You're not going to,
okay, what are your plans when you get out of, I'm going a different direction here with the show. What are your plans after high school? I just want to know if this is going to cost me money or if I'm, if me and mom are going to be able to live.
Personally, I hate the idea of college. I know, like some people, it's probably really useful. Sounds like a huge waste to me.
But, well, now, as a parent, you know, most parents in the modern era would be like, oh no, Olivia, let me break out the stats right now of how much more money you're going to make over your lifetime if you get that college degree.
Okay, I'm going to waste like at least 4 years and like.
It depends what you're going to do.
So many thousands of dollars.
Depends what you're going to do. I mean, there's if you're going to become a brain surgeon, then
that would probably be a good idea.
If you're going to become a pilot or something, well, I'd say go to a specialized school, become a pilot. Hey, we got Bruce Sidlinger on the program tomorrow. Maybe we'll touch on this one. Yeah, I'm just saying if it's a very specialized thing. You like to write. You better have some backup career options
for that. I
want to
write. I want to act. I want to own a bakery.
Well, those are very diverse things. Now, bakery could be the practical thing that gets you through the times of the writing and acting lull, let's say. Like those dry times.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
You got it. You better have, here's my advice, fallbacks. Know as many things. There's a lot, here's the deal. There is a plethora of people out there in this world today that don't know how to do anything. I mean, they have no actual useful skill sets. Despite what a lot of people say, being a social media influencer or a gamer or something, really no, unless you're going to get into programming and coding and things like that.
Yeah,
at some
it's
point.
Like if the zombie apocalypse came.
Yeah, it's like, what was that one show we were watching one time, that Jericho, which is, I thought, a really cool series that they had. Nuclear war happens, this town gets cut off in Kansas, et cetera, et cetera. And they had the one kind of, useless teenage kid or young adult, right? And he's like, well, they just got to get the internet back up because then we can order everything. You know, like no clue as to where anything actually comes from. So, yeah, we got a lot of people think that the virtual world is actually the real world. So learn as many skills. If being a baker, yeah, it's a great skill. Learn as many skills as possible, though, because then you got a lot of options. You got a lot to fall back on.
Yeah, and not just that, but I'd get bored doing one thing for the rest of my life.
That's true. I mean, I'm on my, I don't know, fourth career at this point. One of these is going to stick, I guess, at some point. Love to hear from you. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Being a small business owner is great. For example, Sportsman's Bar and Grill in Flagstaff, just north of downtown Flagstaff. If you're coming on into town, head on up there and get great specials. They've always got the $4 menu going on where you can get like, I know Pozzoli's going on right now. We went Friday and I was like, I'm going to get Pozzoli. And I got there and they didn't have Pozzoli. They had clam chowder. And I was like, clam chowder. Oh man, it was so good. I know you're not a big clam
chowder
fan.
You were like so disappointed.
But yeah, then I got it and I was like, boom, this is
clams.
Yeah. Well,
I don't like stuff that comes from the sea.
Okay. Yeah, you're not a sea person. But
I love the sea though.
They had great clam chowder. They have great pozzoli. They've got tomorrow, for example, it's Taco Tuesday. I had two tacos and I don't know if these really normally would go together, but it did for me because I got a lobster taco and I think the carnitas and clam chowder. And that was all off their $4 menu.
I mean, that's not the most normal combination.
And the owner was there, and he's saying, well, you really like soup, because he always hears me talking about the great soups and things they've got up there. But they've got sandwiches. They've got drink specials all the time. Sportsman's Bar and Grill, voted best sports bar in Flagstaff many years in a row. Go on and check it out. Get some great food. Okay, the electric vehicle dream that's happening right now. And again, let's mark this one tomorrow. I know you won't be here, but I want to mark it for Bruce, because Bruce Sidlinger, who will be on the program, has two Teslas, I believe. And look, I have no problem with electric vehicles, but I think that, and we touched on the show on Friday, me and Angela, when you've got the government pushing for something like electric vehicles, companies make bad decisions. You got all the incentives, all the social pressure to create these electric vehicles. You got states that are saying we're going to have X percent of electric vehicles by 2030, 2042. What's California? Like they want to be 100% by 2050 or something like that.
It was even earlier than that.
Maybe it was earlier.
It was like by next year.
Yeah. So what you've got is bad you've got decisions. You've got economic decisions being driven from the top, the political, the politicians, the bureaucrats, that they don't know how to run a car company. They don't know how to run anything, quite frankly.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
So they come up with this plan to, hey, we're going to get electric vehicles. It's just going to happen. It's kind of like what I was talking about with that old series, Jericho, and the guy was like, just get the internet, just order it from there. These politicians just think, I thought of it, so we're going to, somebody will whip it up.
And it will just be great, and all the world problems will be solved.
Yeah, we'll solve it, and we won't have the global boiling, or whatever the UN secretary is calling the heat wave that's going on. We're all about to die. So this is from Fox Business. Ford Motor Company announced it is projected to lose a whopping, you got an idea on the figure?
Billions.
$4.5 billion from electric vehicles, from EVs.
Knew it.
This year. Yeah, so just this year.
Didn't we think this was going to happen? Yeah. Didn't we say it?
So here's Ford Motor. They're selling the heck out of trucks and other things that people actually want. And fortunately, they have enough profits from the things that people want. Here's the problem with these companies that are being directed by the government. They're being told, hey, you got to build these cars. You got to build these. They're being forced to build cars, and they're going along with it, that people don't want. Go ahead. You want
it's
to
like,
say something?
Just like, if they would just step back a minute and like, look. It just run the numbers. Be so painfully obvious.
Yeah, $4.5 billion loss this year from electric vehicles, up from the previous projected loss of about $3 billion. Every time we go down this rabbit hole of alternative energies, alternative energy, it winds up being a massive boondoggle. Look, I think solar in Arizona is probably pretty effective in most parts of the state. In the Southwest, it's parts of the country that get a lot of sun, solar makes a lot of sense. I hear wind is not doing too well because the turbines that these people have created, they're not producing the electricity they thought.
Yeah,
they're
breaking down. It's like you drive by and you're like, they're broken. Oh, look. There's one going.
Yep.
There's 50 all around.
Yeah, and what I've heard is they've actually, because the numbers didn't pan out like they said, the geniuses, the bureaucrats, the people who said this was all going to work just fine, they're starting to make the, what do you call them, the fans, the big turbine, the big sail, I guess you'd call it, right? The propeller, right?
Oh.
The actual windmill part. They're making them bigger and bigger to try to
make up for
spin
it.
More and catch more wind, but it's also making it structurally there. I think it's having a wear and tear issue on a lot of these windmills is what I'm hearing.
They have to be transported too. And
they have to be transported. And then it's a nightmare
strapping it to like 50 Teslas in a row on the top.
Well, we've seen some,
it's going to take a big gas vehicle.
It took a big deal. We saw them in Kansas last
diesel,
year.
Yeah, that's
Kansas,
right.
They were being towed and they're like, were huge. These blades or whatever you call them. They're making them bigger and bigger to try to make up for the miscalculation on the numbers and how effective it is. Wind is not going very well. This is what often happens. When they get into these programs, they miscalculate because it's all projection, conjecture. They don't know until it actually happens. So this is the road the government's taken us down. And these woke companies is, this is going to work, trust me.
And I mean, and the sun is one of the few things that like, we know exactly how long during each day it's going to be there. And then it's going to be there the next day. And the wind is one of the most
unpredictable things out there.
Yeah, that's unpredictable.
No, that's a good point. It's generally, you know, hey, it's going to be sunny X amount of days in Arizona. Germany with their pipe dream of getting rid of everything except for alternative energy. Germany is not the sunniest place on planet Earth. So running solar there, France, for example, France has closed down, I believe, that most if not all of their nuclear power plants, and they're going solar and this and that. These are cloudy places. These are places that don't have very good winters. Anyway, we always go down this road, and then it becomes a massive failure. You know, somebody's making money on this thing, but Ford is losing money. The company still generates a massive amount of revenue, according to this Fox Business News article. In other parts of the company, Ford's second quarter revenue was $45 billion with a net income of $1.9 billion. So they made, let's call it $2 billion selling trucks and other vehicles that people want to have, gasoline engine vehicles, right? They lose $4.5 billion on the EV side. Had they not been messing around with the EV side, what is that, four, five, six? They're making $6, $7 billion in profit. If I was a shareholder of that company, the purpose of these companies is to return value to the investors. The people who own a little, piece of paper anymore, but they own the shares of the company are the ones that the company is supposed to be giving profit back to. That's why they exist. They make a good product, make good profit. I'd be pissed off if I was a big shareholder of this company, and all of a sudden you're telling me you lost $4.5 billion on this dream after losing $3 billion last year.
And you'd just think that for any logical company, you'd see you're losing money and you'd change.
Yeah, you'd say, okay, we've gotten hammered for 2 years now and probably longer. Where's the light at the end of the tunnel? Is that a Tesla coming through, or is that, you know, a train coming through? Where's the light at the end of the tunnel? When is this thing going to be profitable? And I think the answer is, I don't think it's going to be, because every time as they try to ramp this up, they run into the supply chain issues. They can't get the batteries. They can't get the parts needed to build all these things. I think this is just, sadly, what I think is going to happen, electric vehicles are going to be here to stay, and you'll see more and more of them. But had the government kept its grubby little paws out of this whole dream, it actually probably would work over a long period of time. Let the companies gradually get into this, and over a multi-decades period, this could be very successful. But with the government meddling, I think these companies are going to lose so much that they're just all of a sudden going to say, we're done, we're out. You know, you make the government car now.
Yeah, then who's going to make it?
Then who's going to make it? Yeah, Soviets tried to make the government car, the Lada. You know, do you see a lot of Ladas driving around? No.
Never heard of it.
Never heard of it because it was a piece of junk. All right, love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. This is not the normal way, because people often bag on capitalism and say, oh, capitalism's all our woes here. And this is not capitalism or the free market. This is crony capitalism. This is government interference. Call it socialism, call it fascism, whatever. It's from the top down. And these things always fail over time. All right, talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. If you're thinking about refinancing right now, Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans, she's going to be able to help you out. That's what she did for me and my family last year. We refinanced an investment property, but they do investment properties, your home, a second home, even properties that are maybe a little different, like an off-the-grid property where you're not tied up and to the grid. And sometimes other banks will look at it and say, I don't want to loan to that for whatever reason. Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans, she can help you out. Give her a call right now at 928-310-6458. Mention the Jeff Horvitz Show. Please do that with all of our sponsors, by the way, because if you do that with Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans, you get $250 off the lender's fee at closing. Call Kim Dawson at 928-310-6458. That's 928-310-6458. Kim Dawson, NMLS 697411, Nova Home Loans. NMLS 3087, BK number 090242, Equal Housing Opportunity, subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Final thoughts, hang tight, back in just a minute.
You're listening to The Jeff Horvitz Show.
Car repairs can be stressful. Jeff Horvitz here. And since most shops pay their mechanics a flat rate based on the auto repair, your mechanic can either be racing against the clock or tempted to tack on extra parts. Now, crazy country boys, they don't play that game. And their shop rates are about 30% less. Now, Big Jim makes sure his technicians are not rushing and that you only pay for the parts that you really need. As a TechNet through CarQuest Service Center, all parts and labor are backed by a 24-month, 24,000-mile nationwide warranty. Now, CarQuest, that's another great company in Flagstaff, family-owned auto parts store in Flagstaff, serving you for over half a century. Don't overpay for auto repair or service. Call Big Jim at Crazy Country Boys Services at 928-607-9753. That's 928-607-9753. 928-607-9753. Crazy Country Boys Services, using only CarQuest guaranteed auto parts. Crazy good. Just past the Flagstaff Mall off the East Empire Avenue exit. Well, good luck your first day back tomorrow at school. I'll miss you.
I'll see if I can come in.
Yeah, right second at the end second of the hour day. Of the day. Yeah, that'll be good. But a lot of people going back to school, so watch it out there tomorrow. Remember, like the private schools, they don't get like the school zone markings for some reason, or maybe an archery program too. All right, everybody have a great, safe night. Bruce Sidlinger tomorrow. Look forward to it. Take care. See you soon.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show.